Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of our listeners on this fifth Sunday in Lent. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
One day, two religious people were spiritually awakened. What does that really mean? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we realize that even in our society today, where there is so much corruption, there are still many religious people. God, we pray that those who are religious, but who have never tasted of God's grace in Jesus Christ, may be spiritually awakened. Grant, O God, that what happened beneath the cross of Jesus may happen also in this Lenten period, and that within our church our eyes may be opened, and we may behold Christ as a crucified and risen Savior. Speak to us to that end. We ask it in your holy name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 38. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was a Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
God's Son has made me free.
He came to live to die.
friends in Christ. If I were to fault preaching, it would be that too many sermons assume all people in the congregation are Christians. Many people who attend the church services are not Christians by their own admission. One man told me one day, "You preach as though I am one of you." That is not true. From that day on, I began to prepare my sermons differently, and yet I am sure that I too am one of those people who take altogether too much for granted when we stand in the pulpit. And now I realize that it is not for humans to make judgment on others. Who are we to say? But they make judgments on themselves. One man went on to say to me, "You know, if I am to define Christianity as living a good life, being concerned about my fellow men, keeping the golden rule, and having great admiration for the Ten Commandments, then you can call me a Christian. But if you want to use the Bible's definition for a Christian, I am not one yet." It was a person who was struggling with the Christian faith. Let's take a look at one of the biblical definitions of who a Christian really is. St. Paul gives us this one under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, he says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." In other words, a Christian is one who has met the Lord Jesus, one way or another, and he confesses him as Savior and Lord and believes from his heart that he is the one who grants the forgiveness of sins and restores us into a personal relationship with God. The Bible introduces us to two men who were deeply religious. They came to believe that Jesus was the Lord and Savior of the world and finally gave a public confession of their faith. But to begin with, they were religious individuals. They were members of the Sanhedrin, or sometimes called the ruling council. They had been raised in the Jewish faith. They knew the laws upside down and inside out. They kept these laws as best it was possible for an individual to do. They walked the holy life according to their tradition. These men were named Nicodemus and Joseph, who came from Arimathea. As I said, they were both members of the Jewish ruling council. Now, the one of these men, Nicodemus, we have met in the third chapter of the Gospel of St. John. He came to Jesus one night, and he said to him, "Teacher, we realize that you have come from God, for no one could ever do the things that you have done unless he had come from God." Jesus turned to this man and said, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Now, that caused Nicodemus a great deal of questioning and wondering what this was all about. And so he said to him, "Well, what do you mean about being born again? A man cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born." And Jesus turned around and said to him, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In other words, there has to be a spiritual birth as well as a physical birth. We don't know too much more about the conversation that Nicodemus and Jesus had that night, but you can be sure that he left there with a lot to think about. And as the years went by, it is really evident that Nicodemus had come to understand that Jesus was more than any other teacher he had met. Was he possibly the Messiah? Was he possibly the Son of God? Was he the one who could save them from their sins? And so when they were in their Sanhedrin meetings and they began to really criticize and judge Jesus, it would be a person like Nicodemus who never confessed that he was one of Jesus, but who would say, "Does our law permit us to judge one without a trial? And then the question would come around, are you one of his too? You see, I imagine that some of the people in the ruling council were skeptical of Nicodemus and probably thought that Jesus was drawing him into his own flock. The Holy Spirit, you can understand, was at work in the heart and in the soul of Nicodemus. And finally, he came to that place where he confessed, at least to himself, Jesus is the Son of God. He was a silent believer. That he was until finally the day came that Jesus was hanging on the cross. When he was pronounced dead, and Joseph of Arimathea went and asked Pilate for his body, and was granted that permission, Nicodemus came with ointment to embalm the body. And along with it, he brought linen cloths, and these cloths were used to wrap the body as they placed it in the tomb, that newly constructed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Nicodemus was a silent believer. When the Sanhedrin met, he might try to calm them down just a little bit in their criticism of Jesus, but he never once confessed until that day when Jesus was dead that, after all, he was a Savior. And now, with the anointing of the body and wrapping the body in linen, he was giving public confession to that whole group of people. Now I am one of his. Isn't it too bad that he had to wait until Jesus had died? How our Lord could have used his support. But he was afraid to confess his faith in Christ, for fear of what his peers would do to him. He was afraid that he may be thrown out of the Sanhedrin. But there finally came that time, as the Holy Spirit worked with him, that he had to not count the cost anymore, but simply say, I can only walk with him. He is mine. Isn't it kind of too bad, just parenthetically leaving Jesus a particular situation here for just a moment, and turning to everyday life? How often we wait until a person has died before we begin to say the nice words about her or him. How pathetic it is that we can become so emotional with all of the good things that the deceased now has done for us when he's about to be put into the grave. But there was not much said about her during the days that she walked among us. There's something about it that death causes us to take another look at a person. And that's exactly what these two religious men, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, really did. But the interesting thing is that these religious people were spiritually awakened. Yes, now I've talked primarily about Nicodemus. Let's turn to Joseph of Arimathea. And we do not have to spend a lot of time here because, like Nicodemus, he was a prominent member of the council. And evidently he must have been a man with some wealth. But he too was a silent believer. So when Jesus died, he went to Pilate and he asked if he could be the one to take the body and give it a decent burial. According to the Roman custom, the body could hang on the cross for a period of days because it was a good sign to the people that they had better not fall into these crimes. So after it had laid there or hung there for a period of time, then it could be thrown away into the fields somewhere for the vultures and the wild dogs to eat. Well, the Jews did not want Jesus' body hanging there. And so Pilate, realizing that, said to Joseph, well, if you want to take him and bury him in your tomb, go ahead and do it. You see, as far as Joseph of Arimathea was concerned, he was not going to let the body of Jesus Christ be desecrated in that way. So he got the body. And together with his co-worker Nicodemus, they gave Jesus a decent burial in a brand new, costly tomb that was hewn out of the rocks. And another religious person, this one Joseph of Arimathea, who understood all of the religious laws, who probably could recite their dogmas, who saw to it that his life was as free from sin as it possibly could be, but who had never met God in the person of Jesus Christ, had that experience, and he was spiritually awakened. You know, when you take a look at this story, there's both sorrow and joy in it. There is sorrow that they showed so much love for Jesus after his death, but not too much until he had breathed his last. There is sorrow because that support, as I've already said, would have been most comforting to Jesus in those last cruel hours of his life. There is sorrow that a person can be so manipulated by the crowd that he is unwilling to live according to his own conviction. But there is a tremendous amount of joy here too, friend. There is a joy of knowing that give God time enough, if that person will only keep his heart open, God will have his way in that individual's life. And then it is that people can come out of the closet and identify themselves publicly with Jesus Christ. That's the joy. That's the hope. That there is always hope that even a religious person can be spiritually awakened. Now, what does all of this say to us in the Lenten season? I believe that we can say that sitting in a congregation on a Sunday morning are at least three different groups of people. And I say this on the basis of experience and conversation that I've had with so many of these people whom I have loved so much and worked with for so long. There is a first group of people who are completely confused regarding what Christianity is all about. It sometimes used to disturb me a great deal to think I have preached to these individuals for many, many years, and they still do not have really any understanding of what Christianity is. They think it's something of a moral situation where you have to live a particular way. That is a very impersonal relationship as far as God is concerned. They're really good people. They come to church really on a pretty good basis. You couldn't fault them as far as being good citizens in the community. They are religious people. Then there's another group who have a real understanding of the Christian faith. They have been raised probably in a very good home, sent to Sunday school, learned a lot at home themselves, went to the confirmation classes, memorized the scriptures, understood the catechism. And if you began to ask them what the Christian faith teaches regarding a particular matter, they would be right there to tell you. If you asked them, well, how did Jesus come into this world? He was born of the Virgin Mary. What happened to him after he had been ministering to people for 3 years and he was 33 years of age? What happened to him? Oh, he was crucified. Why did he die? He died for the sins of the world. What happened to him after he was buried? He was raised. They can give you all the answers. They know all about him. But they don't know him. They don't know him. So Christ in one situation is the Lord that they're willing to give answers to about. But really in the dynamic sense of someone moving them and changing their lives, no. The second group are those whom we would probably call the closet Christian. And there are many of them. They know the Lord Jesus. They've had an experience with him. Perhaps they haven't grown very much in that relationship, but they know him. However, it is very difficult for them to identify with Christ. I think they are much like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea must have been just before they finally came out of the closet and confessed by their acts, and I believe by their words, had we been around here, that Jesus is truly the Son of God. Are there not many in the churches like that? Do we not all fall into that category from time to time? We know him, we love him, we're anxious to talk about him, but we are not really quite ready to confess him when the going is really rough. In the marketplaces, in school, at work, in our social settings, or wherever else it may be. To those who are in that category today, and I wonder if that isn't many, many of us who do know the Lord Jesus. The Word of God is saying to us today through these people of Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea that Christ needs you. He needs you now. He needs your actions to portray to the people that you are truly one of the Lord's. And he needs you to give that verbal witness that Jesus Christ has died for you, and that you know beyond all doubt that your sins are forgiven and you are his forever. And then there's a third group. They are the spiritually awakened. They are the people who witness to Jesus Christ and have learned what it is to take up their cross and follow him. Their lives are living testimony. They are really what you could say the backbone of the church of Jesus Christ. They're willing to give of themselves. They have learned at the foot of the cross what discipleship really is and what true stewardship really is. We're going to talk about these two men again next week as we see what the life of believers in Jesus Christ is like. What we saw happen in our text today is what we need to see happening in our congregation on a regular basis. There needs to be religious people meeting Jesus Christ and having a spiritual awakening as they walk with him throughout their lives. Amen.
Come, come, come.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that the Holy Spirit may work in our hearts as he worked in the hearts of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Move us beyond just being religious people. Move us beyond knowing about Christ to really knowing him, to knowing that he is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. O Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming, and we thank you that you're anxious to live in our hearts and our lives. Sustain us with your grace and give us strength, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to receive you anew. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write or call our office and tell us what station you listen to. We would like to know something about you also. As part of our listening family, you are important to us. All listeners who respond will be sent a booklet of biblical passages titled, God's Love Never Fails. This booklet shares insights about God's love from Moses, David, Paul, Jesus, and others. Please write this week to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.